Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well and you're feeling the energies of the new moon earlier in the week. I was actually really blessed to be able to go to a proper kind of fire ceremony and gong bath, and it was great. And earlier in the day, I'd put something on the Sober Club. I'd been reading some stuff from Davina McHale, who is one of my podcast guests. If you want to scroll back through earlier episodes, Davina writes some fabulous stuff about moon energies. And she had written a really fascinating piece with all the ins and outs of what this particular new moon means. And the phrase I remember is that was encouraging us all to harness the inner badass. So I'll absolutely take that. Definitely, it's a time to release what you no longer need and invite what you do want to bring in. And it's been very timely for me because, as you can probably tell from my voice, I've had a cold. So certainly releasing what I no longer need. Hopefully it'll go real quick. I'm really thrilled that we've teamed up this week with Awake Organics, who are an amazing natural skincare company. And somebody said to me, oh, surely if you do have any kind of sponsors for the podcast, it's got to be alcohol-free drinks. And I'm thinking, well, no, why? Absolutely not. My whole thing is holistic living. And I've really noticed how, obviously, it's my passion, and I've just opened up my awards and I talk about this stuff all the time. But I'm noticing more and more that people who ditch the booze sometimes for the first time do start to become aware of the bigger holistic picture. Suddenly, they do care about what they eat, quite rightly. You know, they do care about what they're spraying around their home, and they absolutely care about what they put on their skin. I mean, if you're not going to be drinking alcohol, why would you want to be putting potentially toxic chemicals on your skin? It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, years ago, if we'd been having this conversation, it would have been tricky because trying to find like really good, holistic, completely natural skincare products wasn't so easy. But I mean, the market is incredible now. And really now you can take your choice. But I would still say be really careful, because there's an awful lot of companies out there who add a tiny bit of something natural in and then call it organic, which it isn't. So you need the brands who really do what they say on their tin. So I'm really thrilled that this week we've teamed up with Awake Organics, a family business based in Buckinghamshire, not far from me, founded by Melissa Kimball. And they make natural skin, hair and body care products, and they are 100% natural, and every single product is formulated using organic and sustainable ingredients. So you can be absolutely sure that they don't contain parabens or SLS or aluminium or petrochemicals or anything else. And if you're vegan, you'll be pleased to know there's no animal testing in their supply chain, and they've got that certification, the cruelty-free one by Leaping Bunny. That always looks cute on products. And this brand specialise in waterless products. I thought this was really interesting because when a product contains water, obviously it can't be organic because you can't have organic water. So this stuff is concentrated and it's packed with all these amazing plant-based superfoods. So it's not just full of water and a load of fillers. You've really got every ingredient matters, and they smell absolutely divine because they've got organic essential oils rather than using synthetic perfumes or dyes. They've got these gorgeous essential oils. So there's a big range of skincare to suit all skin types, hair care to support hair growth. So if you've got fine or stressed hair, you'll find something there. And interestingly, they've got 100% natural deodorant. And I mention that because, sorry if you haven't your tea, but I mention that because often when people are new to thinking about holistic products, that can be quite an interesting entry product, because you can kind of find a natural deodorant that ticks the boxes and actually works. So you can get rid of your aluminium-based deodorant, which, trust me, is not going to be very good for you. So you can just find out more about them at awakeorganics.co.uk. Lots of great information on their site. And we do have a promo code. So if you did want to try them out, if you use the code JANEYLEE15, that's Janie Lee in capitals, JANEYLEE in capital letters, 1515, and then you get 15% off awakeorganics.co.uk. And I'll pop that in the show notes as well. And we've also got a competition. Really great competition to win over £65 worth, I think it is, something like that. And you get the ultimate hair routine. So everything you need to boost hair growth, lovely scalp health. You get a pre-shampoo scalp clarifier in there, a rosemary shampoo, caffeine and rosemary shampoo, coconut and sesame conditioner, and a daily hair and body tri serum. So all of that will be in the show notes. From Awake Organics. So we're really grateful to them for being part of the podcast. And the more we can talk about natural holistic products, I'm good. that's my kind of raison d'etre sorted right there. Let's talk more about this stuff. Let's bring more stuff into our lives that kind of improves everything. It never is only the not drinking, is it, really? I think I find myself saying that an awful lot. That's what we do in the Sober Club. We look at the everything. I think that's the really important piece. So my guest this week, something a little bit different. I just came across this interesting report, this interesting study that was done in the States. And I just thought, well, you know, maybe we could just talk about this a little bit more, because it's looking at the rise of the sober curious. I mean, we know what's going on in the UK about the rise of the sober curious. But this particular study, I thought it was really interesting, because it showed that 93% of the people studied feel that drinking alcohol is a big part of the US culture. But also found that 34% of Americans are aiming to drink less alcohol this year. So I thought, let's just dig into this a little bit and do something a little bit unusual and just actually dig into some stats. So I thought I'd get the guy on, Alan Miles. Let's see what he has to say. So we're talking stats and some really interesting findings. And I'm really pleased to be able to chat to Alan Miles, who is the CEO of NC Solutions. Alan, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks so much, Janie.
I really appreciate it. So I don't know much about the work that NC Solutions do. Do you want to just share that with us first, just so we can give it a little bit of context?
Absolutely. So I'm the CEO of NC Solutions, and we're a company that works with consumer packaged goods brands to give them tools that make their advertising campaigns work better. Mm. We also look at trends that impact consumer packaged goods brands so that we can stay informed and give our clients insights that support their brand and their growth strategies.
Okay, so I can absolutely see why this survey, or whatever we might call it, is so fascinating then, because, you know, you will know as I do, that if we'd have had this conversation kind of 10 years ago, and you'd been looking at alcohol-free drinks and people's attitudes, it would have been a very, very different picture, wouldn't it?
So indeed.
You know, the way that, certainly here in the UK, the way that the alcohol-free drinks market and the sober curious movement has grown is literally incredible. I mean, it's off the scale. It really is. And I'd be really interested to hear more about how it is in the States. But tell us how you came about doing this study then, and what it was what questions were you asking, as it were?
Sure. So again, our mission is to help improve the advertising effectiveness for consumer packaged goods brands. So when we think about our clients, and we want to look at trends that might impact their marketing and their advertising. And in this case, we noticed that there's a real growth in the no and low alcohol beverage categories. It's about 8 to 11 billion actually worth of sales in the US currently.
Wow.
We also concurrently saw that this past year, the number one drink on New Year's Eve actually in the US was soda. And that really grabbed our attention. So we started talking about these trends together and said, you know, do we have something here? You know, should we field some survey work and look at the purchase information that we have? We wanted to know more about how Americans felt about alcohol and how that actually translates into purchase trends. Mm. When we talk to beverage and alcohol brands, we want to use these findings to provide them with strategic guidance. You know, an alcoholic beverage manufacturer might want to change their strategy based on some of these findings, for example.
Absolutely. So, I mean, one thing we talk about a lot is, you know, the fact that once you've made that decision and you're going to ditch the booze, you absolutely do not want to be treated like you're 12 years old. So you still want to be able to go to a bar or a restaurant or whatever and have some fantastic options available to you. And really, you know, the brands that are kind of up to speed with that are the ones who are going to do really well.
Absolutely. You know, we found some of the findings that we found, you know, 1 in 3 Americans currently is trying to drink less on top of 24% who don't drink at all. So that's more than half of Americans right there in those buckets.
About 36%.
Yeah. Have tried non-alcoholic beer.
Right.
And about half of them are really interested in sober bars, to your point.
Yeah, so absolutely. How many have you really got in the States? Do you know? How many alcohol-free bars do you have? Do you know?
I actually don't know the answer to that question.
I think to be perfectly honest with you, I know this is not something I say very often, but I think the UK are ahead of you.
I think that's not something you usually say
to an American, is it?
you know, what's funny is I lived in the UK in the 80s, and my impression was it's a very boozy culture.
Yeah, totally.
When I go back now, it feels like a more mindful culture.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
I see people with healthy alternatives, and also just people, you know, they notice what they drink, and it's not that they're tracking what they drink, but they are mindful about their drinking in a way that I didn't see when I lived there in the
80s. Yeah, we do have a mindful drink movement, and we are definitely coming up to speed with you know, with a lot of the brands and the offerings in the restaurants and the bars. There's still a bit of work to be done, in fairness, particularly across the kind of, I would say, the catering sector in the UK. You know, there's quite a lot of work to be done there, but we do have a bunch of really great alcohol-free bars. I know you've got a few in the States. There's definitely a couple in New York and one in Brooklyn. I'm sure there are others. But tell us a little bit more then about your survey, because I know you found that 45% were interested in going to an alcohol-free bar. That's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the other interesting findings is that younger people are less likely to be drinkers than older folks. You know, we definitely see a trend where Gen Z has 3 drinks a week, Gen Xers are more like 4, and millennials and baby boomers are about 5. Gen Z is much more likely to be mindful drinkers, to the point that we were making. So that was really one of the most interesting things, is how this is kind of a generational thing. You know, to be fair though, you know, the younger generations have more alternatives, you know, like the cannabis alternatives and things like that are things that didn't exist for older generations. We've also found that younger people are more interested in sweets. So it's not purely about health, but there is a health aspect to it.
Well, that's interesting. What, as in, you know, as in sort of sweet snacks and stuff, or?
Sweet snacks.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. What about the kind of the soft drink trends as opposed to specifically low alcohol? So for example, you know, you mentioned soda was what a lot of people were drinking at New Year, but what about drinks like kombucha that you have had in the States long before we've had?
Yes, all of those categories have been growing for a long time. To circle back to that New Year's Eve statistic, so the number one drink for New Year's Eve, again, this is in the U.S., this New Year's Eve was soda. About 20% of people chose that as their number one drink, just eking out champagne and sparkling wine. I thought that was really kind of remarkable. 14% like cocktails, 13% beer, and 11% wine. But that soda number one really grabbed us.
Did you, I don't know whether in the study, did you look specifically at sort of alcohol-free cocktails, you know, at the kind of mocktail movement?
We looked at kind of alcohol-free beer and wine and kind of how many people have tried them. So about a third of Americans have tried an alcohol-free beer, about 12% alcohol-free wine. But what's interesting here is on top of that, 32% are interested in buying or trying alcohol-free wine and spirits. So I think that's an interesting trend right there. That's a pretty big chunk of the population.
Yeah, absolutely. So very interesting you talk about these average drinks per week. So now here in the UK, we have this really bizarre kind of statistic from a benchmark, if you like, from the government, where we're told that 14 units a week is the optimum. I mean, you know, if you want my personal opinion, it's absolute BS, but there you go. Do you have anything similar in the States?
I'm pretty sure that we do. And it's definitely more, I've been shocked by the number. I myself have been sober for 14 years. And so I'm kind of distant from the,
amazing.
Yeah, so I'm kind of a little bit distant from this, but I remember seeing some statistics around kind of the number of drinks, and it's kind of off the charts to my mind. But like
Is
I said,
it?
our survey found 3, 4, and 5 for the different generations.
That's interesting. I mean, the one thing that is I've always found fascinating is that, of course, it still is, well, in terms of legality, the drinking age is 21 in the States, right? That's still the case.
That is true. Although, it's interesting how many people underage drink in the U.S. Some of our survey data had some of that. It's kind of like a third to half, and it varies tremendously by state. My home state of Massachusetts was number one or number 50, depending on your point of view in that regard.
Right. It's interesting though, because, at least there is that benchmark that they're kind of admitting, in inverted commas, or pointing out that, I did a really interesting interview with Dr. Arik Sigmund, who's from the US, and he's a kind of educational psychologist. He does a lot of work in education, and he points this out as being, a really important factor, actually, because of course the brain is not fully developed till we're kind of 21, 22. So if we can hold off till that age, it's going to make a really big difference. Whereas here in the UK, the legal drinking age is much younger. In fact, legally, Dr. Arik Sigmund did a really interesting piece just to kind of show up how ridiculous the law was, because the law says actually you a child could be given alcohol in the home from the age of 5. I mean, how incredible is that? He's not trying
Wow.
to say everyone is doing that, but having that as the law does not exactly set a fantastic example, does it?
Absolutely. It to me, and again, this isn't so much in our survey, but just something I've noticed personally. I think I used to see a lot more stories about the health benefits of alcohol, right? I drink a glass of wine a day, that kind of thing. I feel like the tide has really shifted. People are understanding that that alcohol, is a drug. It has effects in our body, et cetera, et cetera, and that it's not necessarily a healthy choice under any circumstances. That's not to say that moderate drinking is bad or whatever, but I think there's this growing recognition that this is an unhealthy substance. It, much the same way as caffeine or a lot of other things are. There's not a healthy amount to be taken. There's kind of an amount that really won't damage your health, perhaps.
No, absolutely. I've done some interesting, I did an interesting podcast, a study that showed really in no uncertain terms that literally there is no safe amount. I mean, I've said many times that when I was drinking, those articles, that you mentioned, the kind of alcohol is good for you kind of articles, are what really kept me stuck for so many years, because I'd constantly see these ridiculous pieces saying a glass of red wine is good for the heart, all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd buy into that. Of course, it wouldn't be the red wine, it would be a bottle of Sauvignon, but nevertheless, I
I
took it to mean
identify,
that.
so
Yeah, absolutely.
I understand.
I took it to mean that. But I think that, if you actually, if you look into it, we would find that a lot of those studies are actually funded by drug companies. So of course, that's why they say what they say.
Absolutely. Well, that it's interesting because one of the categories that we do see growing quite significantly is the cannabis sector in the
Yeah,
US.
tell me more about that then.
Sure. So just again, just some statistics here. I'm not trying to drown you with statistics, but the study has a lot of data in it. So about 38% of Americans are interested in trying cannabis-infused drinks. And 74% feel that younger generations are using cannabis much more than older generations. A lot of folks who don't drink alcohol use marijuana, about 17%.
Oh,
So,
that's interesting.
and it is definitely generational. It's 26% for younger people and about 11% for older people.
Right. And what's the legality of that then
So I
in the
think it varies
States?
by state. I'm not an expert there, but it is certainly culturally, I'll tell you, in the US has become completely culturally accepted.
Really? Wow,
So
that's
in many states
interesting.
it's legal, and in the states where it isn't quite legal yet, in my sense is that the lids come off.
Right, that's so interesting. Have you ever been to Amsterdam?
I have.
So is it becoming a bit of an Amsterdam vibe?
I think it's so funny. Like, I was in that part of Amsterdam kind of 30 years ago, and I was there in November, and that was not my Amsterdam this past November. But my sense is that it is not merely tolerated, but actually legal in the U.S. In various forms. There are dispensaries, for example, all over Massachusetts, you know, where I spend most of my time.
Right.
And I've noticed in New York City, dispensaries, which are not legal, are popping up all over Manhattan. So, you know, there we are.
Wow, how interesting. So, I mean, what, when you did these surveys then, I mean, what would, you may not have asked the question, but why do you think this is popping up? Do you think this is, you know, people are just looking for, you know, a different way to relax? Or what would you say is behind this?
So, again, just my opinion here, not so much the survey data. So in the pandemic, you know, anecdotally, people turned to alcohol quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so I think what we're experiencing now is a confluence of both a rebound from that era, as well as, like I said, just a lot of understanding that, you know, that this is not necessarily a healthy lifestyle choice and that there are other options available, as well as role models just showing that, you know, living a sober life can be happy and fulfilling, which is certainly not a message that, you know, I ever received kind of, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
What was it like for you then when you, if you've been sober for quite a bunch of years, that was obviously before a lot of these trends. So was that, I bet that was quite difficult back then.
Well, you know, it's interesting because even now in our survey, 93% of people feel that that alcohol and drinking is a very important part of our culture, right? Mm. So, you know, there's certainly that perception. I don't recall ever seeing or meeting sober people when I was drinking. Now, that part of that was just who I was surrounding myself with, you know, and the environment that I was in. Mm. But the biggest surprise to me when I got sober was how many sober people there are. I mean, like I said, in our survey, it says that 24% of Americans don't drink ever. And right. Most of those people say it's just because they just don't particularly want to, or they don't like the effect. Mm. A minority of them say it's because they either have experience with addiction or have people in their families who have some addiction, substance abuse issues, alcoholism, whatever it might be. Mm. So a lot of people just kind of have found a way to have kind of fulfilling lives without alcohol.
Yeah.
And certainly my experience in the last 14 years, initially to my surprise, is that that all exists. You know, I was amazed by how many venues and opportunities that I had where the people around me were sober, and I never knew that before.
Yeah,
I was blind to it. So yeah, that really opened my eyes.
So just to pick up on that then, I think I saw in the study that you said over 56%, so over half, 56% said the number one reason that they're thinking about an alcohol-free life is they just don't want to drink.
That's
and
right.
Then at the ranking at number two, they actually say is health, you know, is a health reason.
Yep.
Yeah. And then also one in five are worried that they will become addicted.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well,
that's,
I mean,
correct.
Yeah.
It's really awareness of addiction is much higher now than it was, you know, decades ago.
Yeah.
I think decades ago, it was kind of like hidden in a closet, you know, and now it's on television and on social media and celebrities and all that kind of stuff. So it's
totally
just much more out in the open.
Totally. And I think, you know, one of the things that feels most important to me is that we take the, you know, anonymous out of all of this, and we talk about it and we bring it out into the open. And particularly we bring out into the open the phenomenon, if you like, of the term grey area drinkers, you know, those people who aren't at rock bottom, but they're just drinking more than they want to. And I think the really important thing is that none of us need to wait till we get to rock bottom. It's not
Absolutely.
A case of, oh, some people are alcoholics and, you know, will never recover. And clearly I'm not one of those, so therefore I'm perfectly okay. It's this whole spectrum. And what's so interesting about this report is that clearly this, you know, this growing sober curious trend means that more people are looking at their relationship with alcohol and realizing, well, you know what, I don't actually have to carry on going down that booze elevator, as it were. So it's a really fascinating, really fascinating survey. So what would you say then, how do you feel that the drinks market is in the UK? I mean, as I already said, I think that at the moment in the UK, I think we're ahead of you, which is unusual for trends, let's face it. But there are certainly a huge number of artisan brands in the UK that sell a whole range of different alcohol-free drinks. And then, of course, we've got the big guys, you know, all the big beer companies have got a 0% version. Where would you say you've, you know, that lies in the US?
Yep. So, according to our data, this is it's an emerging trend, and not an established one. So I think that we certainly have indications all along the lines that you just described, artisan brands and big brands as well, being interested in the category, but it's somewhat nascent. So some of the purpose of what we're doing here is trying to alert our clients of this trend, that it's not just a, what I would call a New York Times style section trend, something where a journalist kind of interviewed five friends and declared a trend, but like an actual trend that we can see in the data, both in the survey data as well as in purchasing data. America sold more juice this past January than in any previous January, which is kind of remarkable. It kind of states that people are really drinking non-alcoholic options in a kind of dry January way, in a way that we have not seen quite before.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, obviously you will have the same you'll have an awareness of the big guys, as I say, the Heinekens and the Carlsberg and all the really big brands, particularly in terms of alcohol-free beer. Well, didn't you have some big ad at the Super Bowl this year, which was really surprising? You had some big ad for an alcohol-free beer that like nobody was expecting to pop up. So there's, clearly the big companies are realizing that. In fact, I think I've heard someone say that some of the big brands have found that their growth in the no and low alcohol sector, in the 0% version of their drink, it has grown sort of exponentially compared to their regular brand. Have you heard that said? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it jibes again with the statistics in our survey. And again, I hadn't seen statistics like this until a month ago. And if you had asked me about some of them, I would not have guessed anything like this. I mean, it's,
Really?
28% of American drinkers, according to our survey, have tried to break up with alcohol. That's a big number. 80% tried to stop cold turkey. 18% have tried to use a challenge like Dry January to quit. I mean, this is really a phenomenon on the level that, I hadn't imagined or anticipated.
It is. So what do you sort of imagine for the future? What will the brands that you work with, the people that you're going to share this with, what will they do with this, if you see what I mean? What do you sort of expect to see come out of this kind of study?
So what we help our brands do is really look at segments of the population and figure out what kind of purchasing power they have against different kinds of categories. So I'd expect them to look at this data, and when they're thinking about their strategic planning, where they're going to invest in different categories, to move spend into some of these non-alcoholic categories, and maybe into some cannabis categories, honestly, just based on the same data.
Interesting. There are one or two drinks, alcohol-free drinks in the UK that are infused with CBD. So they're interesting. There's definitely some interesting stuff going on
What's
there.
the
It's
legal
fascinating.
status in the UK?
Well, I mean, it's a non, it's a bit of it that doesn't get you high that's you can use basically. That's it.
Yeah, no,
Like,
I think it's well beyond that here in the US. So the
is
CBD
it?
is
Oh
everywhere, but
yeah,
I'm talking about
interesting.
actual,
No,
actual,
no. Oh no, absolutely. That's not legal in the UK. That's not to say it's not used, but it's not. I wouldn't say we see it everywhere. Not really, unless I'm just in the wrong places.
Interesting. I mean, I may be in the wrong places too, but I see it, so.
Who knows? Who knows? But yeah, definitely in terms of the CBD products, the CBD infused products, with the aspect of the plant that doesn't get you high. We're seeing more and more of that. We've got CBD infused, pastilles and supplements, obviously, and obviously oil, and then these drinks, these alcohol-free drinks, which are seen as functional drinks. I mean, that was the other question I was going to ask you, actually. Have you seen a rise in functional drinks? So things with adaptogens, for example. Did you look into that in the study?
Yeah, so we didn't look into that in the study, and I don't have some of the statistics in front of me, but that is definitely a trend that we've seen in our data.
Fascinating,
Is
isn't
kind of the
it?
nutraceutical kind of trend.
Things are really changing. Well, let's make a date and have a chat in a year. Okay. And it will be
Awesome.
really fascinating when it to see what's happened, because I wouldn't mind betting that these kind of figures that you've found here will have probably doubled, and it will be kind of, I don't know, two in four Americans are aware of the Sober Curious movement rather than one in four. And and a much bigger
percentage that will have tried the alcohol-free drink. So I think it's really interesting. I don't think it's a trend that's going away, thankfully. And I think, you know, it's super important, because anyone who is kind of not up to speed, because we do still come across people in the UK, as I mentioned, the kind of catering industry. You know what I mean by that is if you kind of rock up to a function or something here in the UK, it's pitiful, usually, if truth be told. It's right. it honestly is. You know, I've been to things, you know, even as recently as a couple of months ago, you know, sort of awards ceremonies, that kind of thing, where you're at a function room or a hotel, and honestly, the offerings are absolutely awful. It tends to be, you know, we laugh about it as being, you know, warm orange juice in a jug and some water if you're a non-drinker. And if you're drinking, you know, you've got your trays of champagne and your red wine and your white wine. And literally, if you're a non-drinker, they will struggle to find you an elderflower cordial that they'll then charge you, you know, 15 quid for. When all the alcohol is free, it's, you know, like, it's, what the hell?
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like we're in that sense where we're sort of vegetarian and vegan were, you know, 10 or 20 years ago.
Yes,
you know,
it's kind of like
now you wouldn't go to a function without automatic, you know, vegan option, right?
Yeah, because it's a dietary requirement.
Exactly, but not the same for kind of, you know, mocktails.
Yes, exactly.
Know, or something exactly. Creative and non-alcoholic.
Exactly. And, you know, you mentioned the part of what may have impacted this kind of study is the fact that, you know, we do have much more awareness of it. And the stars are out there talking about their sobriety. And Jamie Lee Curtis did that lovely social media post just after the Oscars, you know, saying sober, peaceful, or whatever it was she said, you know, sober, steady, happy the morning after, one of those. And you've got people like Anthony Hopkins and on and on. And you think to yourself, you know, if we added up all of those incredible celebs who are all, then they're not just quietly sober, they're right out there with how important their sobriety is to them, right? And if you were hosting a function and you were inviting Jamie Lee Curtis and Anthony Hopkins and, I don't know, Russell Brand from the UK and A.N. Arthur, you would not be serving them orange juice and a glass of water. I mean,
absolutely.
It wouldn't happen, would
absolutely.
It? So, you know, I really think the catering industry, I really hope they get to have a look at this report. Anyways, it's fantastic to chat to you, Alan. I really appreciate you sharing this stuff with us. It's fascinating stuff, and it's good to hear what's going on in the States.
My pleasure, Jenny, and I look forward to catching up in a year.
Yes, definitely. Let's put it in the diary and make sure we keep a note of this study. Obviously, we will. And let's see how it's gone up. It'll be really fascinating.
Excellent.
Thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan. So it will be interesting to see what's happened this time next year. Definitely going to do that. Make sure that you check out thesoberclub.com if you're thinking about ditching the booze, if you're in the early stages. You need connection. It's so important. Get yourself connected. If you don't want to join us in the Sober Club, but you just want to tell someone, then drop me a message. I'm very easy to find on social media at Janie Lee Grace. It's so important to tell someone. Let them know. Let someone know how you're doing, or that you are doing this important thing, because otherwise you'll just be having the conversations in your head over and over again. I had a really interesting conversation with a client who is really ready to stop drinking. Like, he's not even enjoying drinking anymore, just really has got no idea, you know, why they're even doing it, but had to just admit that it's the voice in the head. It's the voice that just says, oh, go on, you know, you may as well start your sobriety tomorrow. Just go for it. And we get confused into thinking that we are our thoughts, but we're not our thoughts. We can stand separately from our thoughts. We can notice them. We can retrain them. We can literally start to create new neural pathways. But you have to have made a commitment, and you have to have a few tools in place. So it's much easier to do this when you're connected. Either work one-to-one with a coach. I offer coaching, and I have a whole bunch of coaches, or just get connected with a group of like-minded people. There's so many different ways of doing this, but try and get some support, because when you're doing it on your own, it's you and the voice. And the voice usually wins. You know, the little wine witch on the shoulder usually wins over because you're just having a little internal battle with yourself. But actually, when you're able to recognize and step aside and be held accountable, and of course, be able to focus on all the amazing things you're going to gain, because just a reminder, there literally is nothing to give up. That's why I won't let anyone use that phrase. Don't write to me and say I'm giving up alcohol. I mean, you can if you like, but I'll write back and say, no, you're not. It's what you're bringing in. Let's focus on what you're gaining. You have nothing to give up at all. It's only gaining. Mentioning the Sober Club and coaches, my Sober Coach training is now accredited by APHM, an accrediting body. So that's super exciting news for me this week. And if that's something that interests you, I appreciate it's not for everyone, but if it is, something that's interests you, that you've been thinking about adding some skills to your toolkit, if you're a practitioner or a coach or an expert or therapist, then get in touch. Or if you're thinking of a new career, then let's just have a chat and see if it might be right for you. So just drop me a message if that's of interest. You know that I want to tell you about Family Constellations. I was featured on a podcast last week on The Other Side of the Mic, the Mother Speaks show. It was great actually chatting about the importance of the mother. That was actually on Mother's Day. So you can find that if you go to my social media. It was a really interesting conversation. And of course, it ended up going into family constellations and how important that was for me to completely change my relationship with my mum. And I feel so blessed that I was able to do that before she died. Just absolutely, I feel incredibly grateful. I had to kind of, well, almost 20 years, perhaps something like that, with since I did my first family constellation, certainly 15, and I feel really grateful. But this work is really profound. It's very special work, and you know, we don't have to stay stuck. You've heard me say that a few times. So my next family constellations workshop is April the 15th, Saturday, April the 15th in Hertfordshire. I work with a leading trauma expert, so you're in really safe hands. So do come if you can, check it out, thesoberclub.com, and look at events. And then if you are a coach or a practitioner or a therapist, the day before April the 14th, we've got a Heart Centre Business Day. So there's a couple of things you might be interested in. And if you're not interested in any of that, but you'd just like to connect with other people who are a bit like-minded, then check out Sober by the Sea. That's on April the 22nd. Be lovely to see you for that. We create a vision board. We focus on what it is you want. It doesn't matter what stage you are, if you've been sober for years or if you're day one or thinking about it, you're absolutely so welcome. So there's a bunch of things. I am cooking up some other stuff too. I'm hoping to be part of a festival in June, so I'll be able to share more about that with you soon. I am definitely cooking up a retreat. It's just exactly where and when, but I'll bring as much info to you as soon as I possibly can. As always, if you've got great ideas for me, for a guest for the podcast, please get in touch. You know where to find me. And once again, if you're doing this, if you're new into this world, into this sobriety world, hang on in there. Get connected, make sure you tell someone, focus only on what you're gaining. Really do that, please. Thank you again to our sponsor for this show, Awake Organics, and make sure you check out the show notes, which will give you that info about the competition and also the promo code, so you can get 15% off everything at Awake Organics with the code JanieLee15. That's capital letters for the Janie Lee. And I'll see you same time next week. I keep hitting that mic. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.